ओम ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्ति ओम शांति 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 ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः गुणत्रय विभागयोगो नाम चतुर्दशोध्यायः. सो वन इंपॉर्टेंट लेसन what we need to remember here is, we are meeting after a break. Prakrutihi is otherwise said to be Maya, otherwise said to be Pradhanam. Pradhanam, Maya, Prakrutihi is a word denoting, indicating, implying the matter. So the matter is endowed with the three gunas. And I already said three gunas are nothing but manifestation of three powers. The three powers manifest alone are given three different names as three gunas. Sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha. So the capacity to know, the capacity to desire, the capacity to act, and the capacity to the power of inertia, the power of knowledge, power of activity and desiring, the power of inertia. Three powers manifest alone are given three different names as three gunas. And anything and everything in this universe, all the forms subtle and gross are nothing but material forms. But these material forms, everything has the three gunas. Everything must have three gunas. Trigunatmakam jagat, trigunatmakaha, dehaha. But in spite of all the three gunas being there in everything, human being mentally can be predominantly sattvic, predominantly rajasic, predominantly tamasic. So in keeping with the mental condition, emotional maturity of the person, we can say which guna is predominant in a person. So everybody, whoever is predominantly rajasic, tamasic person, predominantly rajasic person, all have to ultimately become predominantly sattvic in nature. This predominantly sattvic person, predominantly rajasic person, predominantly tamasic person, this predominance of gunas is determined based on the person's emotional maturity and intellectual sharpness. So I said many times, Shastram prescribes the Karma Yoga lifestyle for everybody to become predominantly sattvic. A tamasic person has to become rajasic in order to become ultimately sattvic. A sattvic person will be eligible to attain jnana. Once he attains jnana, he can become a gunatitaha, nirgunaha. To become free from the hold of gunas. But unless and until jnanam takes place, even a predominantly sattvic person also is bound. Predominantly rajasic person also is bound. Predominantly tamasic person also is bound. Irrespective of which guna is predominant, a totally uncultured person or a little cultured person, relatively more cultured person, or the most cultured or much more highly evolved person. So, culture, uncultured, all the people are ignorant only. In spite of being cultured also, one can be ignorant. Only in jnanam, the person becomes the absolutely cultured. Most cultured is a jnanam. It is the person who has jnanam. So, we saw in the first verses, how not even a person, ignorant person, is how is bound. Sattva guna also can bind Rajoguna binds, Tamoguna binds. But what liberates them? Jnanam liberates. That is the basic question you have to remember. Then we saw last class. We have seen the 19th verse last class. Okay. I have myself forgot where I stopped.
I think we are on 21st, Swamiji.
Pardon?
No. We stopped at verse 19. Verse 20 today.
20. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, let me remind you. It made the 18th verse once. Urdhum gacchanti sattvasthaha madhye tishthanti rajasaha jaganya guna vrittisthaha adho gacchanti tamasaha. I'm sure you remember, we saw in the 18th verse what happens when a person leaves the physical body. Remaining predominantly sattvic, if a person leaves, he will go to higher lokas. A predominantly rajasic person, when he leaves the physical body, he'll come back to human world. A predominantly tamasic person, when a person dies, at the time of death, if a person is not still a tamasic person, and he will go to lower lokas. He'll take to lower the birth of an inferior beings. We saw that in the previous verse. Then the 19th verse we saw. I read once again. Nanyam gune bhyakartaram yada drashtanu pashyati gune bhyascha param vetti madbhavam sodhi gacchati. Nanyam gune bhyakartaram yada drashtanu pashyati gune bhyascha param vetti madbhavam sodhi gacchati. See, drashta anupashyati. See, here, when a person recognizes one's own swarupam, drashta anupashyati means what? Who is the drashta here? The seer, the knower, the individual person. When a person recognizes his own real nature, recognizing one's own nature means what I am. See, I am the knower, I am the seer, I am the thinker, I am the enjoyer, I am the subject of knowledge, which means the physical body is object of my knowledge, mind is object of my knowledge, thoughts are objects of my knowledge, sense organs are objects of my knowledge, which means I, the knower, am distinct from the known body, mind, sense, complex. But who am I? Who am I, the knower? If body is object of knowledge, I, the knower, definitely am distinct from the known body. I mean, body cannot be taken as I. If I am the knower, distinct from the known sense organs, I cannot take the known sense organs as the I. If I am the knower, distinct from the known pranas, even the emotions, thoughts, then I am distinct from the thoughts. Which means, if I am distinct from all of them, I am the knower, fine. Who am I then? What is my form? I only know I am. I know I am. I have no doubt about my existence. I know I am. Who I am? So I, the knower, am. I know this. But who am I, the knower? When a person, with the help of the Shastram, a person discovers the knower is none other than consciousness implied by the term Atma. The person discovers the know, there's no knower other than the Atma. There's no knower other than the. It's like, exactly like the example, always example, simple example given is the wave and the water. There's no wave without water. There's no knower without consciousness, Atma. When a person discovers one's own swarupam, one's own essential nature being Atma, that person is said to be drashta anupashyati. When the knower, drashta here means the knower, when the knower discovers one's own swarupam. And when he discovers one's own swarupam being Atma, he understands that Atma is not the karta, Atma is not the doer. When a person discovers one's own essential nature being Atma, the consciousness implied with the term Atma, and when a person discovers the self is non-doer, I am the knower, I am the doer, these are all the notions a person, individual entertains. I am the knower, that I am the doer, that notion is there. How long? As long as one does not know one's real nature. When a person discovers one's own nature, he will resolve even the knowership and doership. All the notion a person has about oneself will be resolved. Why? I am the very reality. In the wake of that, the person will see his own self being the Atma. Then, kartaram na pashyati. When the person discovers one's own self being Atma, he will not take Atma in himself anymore to be the knower doer. Not take oneself to be the doer anymore. Akartaram yadana anupashyati. Then who is the doer then? All the gunas only are the doers. And the person understands the guna, the doers, the one who has the status of being the doer, that which has the status of being the doer is only the gunas. Gunas in the form of body, mind, sense complex. See, even gunas, the body by itself cannot become the doer. Mind cannot become the thinker knower. Sense organs cannot be sense organs without the blessing of the Atma. At the same time, Atma by itself is not the doer, not the enjoyer. When a person discovers this, gunepyahacha paramveti, he understands what is that which is distinct from this gunas in the form of body, mind, sense complex. There is something. You see only the physical body, you see the individual body, you see the mind, you understand. But there is something which is distinct from the known body, mind, sense complex. That which is distinct param, when a person discovers that distinct from body, mind, sense complex and claims that Atma to be the self, that person, madbhavam adhigacchati, it is that person who becomes one with Bhagavan. In fact, you can never become one with Bhagavan. You need not become one with Bhagavan because you are never away from Bhagavan. Amazing fact this is. You are always one with Bhagavan. You are Bhagavan. It's very difficult to digest this statement. You are Bhagavan. Very difficult to understand. How you are Bhagavan? Essentially, you are Bhagavan. If you tell pot space, you are space. Imagine if pot space is talking to you. If you can tell pot space, hey, oh pot space, you are space. You are the whole space. Very difficult for the pot space to accept because it's strong identity with the pot. Because the identity with the enclosure. Similarly here, essentially you are one. You are the whole. You are one with Ishvara. Only thing is, identity has been shifted from anatma to atma. Such a person, the person who has shifted his identity from anatma to atma, who has again anatma as nitya, who sees the self as standpoint of the atma, that person is the one who has discovered the self being distinct from the gunas. That person, Bhagavan says, madbhavam adhigacchati, he becomes one with me. He attains my nature. This is the old lesson. You go to the new lesson. Om guna netana tityatrin. Guna netana tityatrin. Dehi deha samudbhavan. Dehi deha samudbhavan. Janma mrityu jara dukkhaihi vimukto mrutam ashnute. Janma mrityu jara dukkhaihi Vimuktamrutamashnute Gunanetanatityatrin Dehi Deha Samabhavan Janma Mrityu Jara Dukkhaihi Vimuktamrutamashnute Gunanetanatityatrin Dehi Deha Samabhavan Janma Mrityu Jara Dukkhaihi Vimuktamrutamashnute. See, in this verse, the benefit of knowledge is revealed. What is the benefit of the jnanam? Atma jnanam, the benefit of self-knowledge, is attainment of immortality. Benefit of self-knowledge means what? Knowledge of the self is nothing but knowledge of the reality. Knowledge of the reality is nothing but knowledge of the oneness, essential oneness of the reality. Knowledge of the essential oneness of the reality. Knowledge of the oneness of the reality. Knowledge of the oneness of the reality of the individual and the total. Knowledge of one's own self. Atma jnanam, Brahma jnanam, Jiva Ishvara Swarupa Aikya jnanam mean the same. What is the benefit of this jnanam? Let me tell you again. Knowing one's own swarupam is knowing the one, knowing the swarupa of Ishvara also. Knowing the swarupa of Ishvara is knowing the essential oneness of the reality. How we understand wave and wave are one and the same. Wave and the ocean are one and the same. Essentially, all the waves are one. Essentially, the wave and the ocean are one. In spite of the differences, there is non-difference. So, the person who understands the essential oneness, then we call this a jnanam. And what is the benefit of that jnanam? That jnanam is said here in a different language. Okay? The benefit of the jnanam. How is it said? Yetan treen gunan atitya. Treen gunan atitya. Now you can understand Sanskritam also. Trayaha gunaha. Treen gunan atitya. Sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha, iti trayaha gunaha. There are three gunas. And three gunas belong to what? Three gunas means all matter, material products. Body, mind, sense, complex. Body has three gunas. Body, mind, sense, complex. All, there are three gunas only. You can say, instead of saying, prakritikam shariram, prakritam manaha. Okay, so instead of saying body, mind, sense, complex, material products, you can say another language is what? Three gunas. Three gunas means body, mind, sense, complex. All three gunas are there in all three. Body, mind, sense, complex. So, yetan treen gunan atitya means having distinguished the self from the anatma, body, mind, sense, complex, the material products, the three gunas. Treen gunan atitya means what? Having overcome. Atitya means having overcome. Having overcome means what? Having distinguished the self from the three gunas in terms of body, mind, sense, complex. So having distinguished, having gone beyond, how can you go beyond the body, mind, sense, complex? Treen gunan atitya means having gone beyond. It's not physically going beyond. I go beyond Madhavi's house to go to Devi Amma's house. It's not that going beyond. Okay, it's not physically going beyond. It is intellectually, cognitively going beyond the body, mind, sense, complex. Which means distinguishing the Atma from Anatma. Understanding the Atma being distinct from Anatma is going beyond the Prakriti. Is it clear? So going beyond Prakriti. Going beyond three gunas. So, treen gunan atitya means having distinguished the Atma from Anatma, obtaining in the form of body, mind, sense complex. Tingran Atitya. Deha Samudbhavan. Deha Samudbhavan. These three gunas alone are responsible for three gunas, which are material. Three gunan. So going beyond three gunas means what? Shifting one's identity from anatma to atma. Please make it very clear. Three gunan atitya. Having gone beyond three gunas means having cognitively shifted one's identity from anatma, body, mind, sense complex to atma. It is purely cognitive. And if you have identity with the anatma, body, mind, sense complex, what will happen? Having identity with the body, mind, sense complex will contribute for the assumption of bodies. For Deha Samudbhavan. Deha Samudbhavaha means it is the identity with the three gunas alone. Because of ignorance of the self, when a person has identity with the three gunas, having identity with the three gunas means having identity with the anatma, body, mind, sense complex, contributes for rebirth. Okay? So, Deha Samudbhavan means it is three gunas, identity with the three gunas in the form of body, mind, sense complex alone contributes for samsara. Contributes for assuming new again and again bodies. Dehan samudbhavaha, deha three gunan, deha samudbhavan, which these three gunas alone contribute for assumption of new bodies. Why after death, why do you assume another body? See, Shastra makes it so clear. Be 100% sure. Now see, when somebody passes away, it is very painful for us because the same person will not be available for us to interact, to relate to the person. So it's a painful for us. So my sister died, my brother died, my father died, my mother died, we always be painful situation because the same person we cannot relate to anymore. That is why it's a painful. Otherwise, nothing happens for the person. The body falls apart, the same jiva again will come back assuming another body. What 100%? That is why we do shatam. Nothing happens. Physical body alone gets disintegrated. The sukshma, the person will come back assuming another physical body. Nobody can stop it. Again and again and again, assuming a new body, this person will be born again and again. Why? How long? Shastram says, as long as a person does not go beyond three gunas. Which means as long as the person has identity with the three gunas, as long as the person has identity with the three gunas in the form of body, mind, sense complex, this person will be assuming a new body. Therefore, it is said, three gunan atitya deha samudbhavan. It is the three gunas, identity with the three gunas in the form of body, mind, sense complex, which alone contributes for assumption of new bodies. When a person goes beyond the three gunas, means when a person cognitively, intellectually shifts his identity from the anatma, body, mind, is complex to the atma. What atma? Nirgunaha atma. Then what happens? Such a person. Then when a person overcomes, janma, mrityu, jara, dukkaihi, vimuktaha. Amritam Ashmate. Vimuktaha means that person, a wise person. Vimuktaha means he becomes free. Liberated for good. Vimuktaha. Muktaha means liberated. Vimuktaha, he becomes totally liberated, becomes free from bondage. Bondage of what? Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Dukkaihi. The person becomes free from the bondage of birth, death, old age and sorrow. Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Dukkha. Janma, birth. The person becomes free from birth. Free from the bondage of birth. No more birth. He is no more, he will not be born again, means he cannot die also. There is no more death. No more birth. Physical assumption of a body itself is not possible. So where is the question of being born and then die? No birth, no death. One's body is not there, no old age also. Only physical body subject to birth, death and old age. Then, no more sorrow. Dukkaihi muktaha. That person becomes free from the bondage of birth, death, old age and sorrow. No more afflictions. No more pain. Why? Mind itself will not be there for the person. How can he have sorrow? Mind itself will be resolved for good. In jnanam, mind itself will be resolved for good. Janma mrutya jara dukkaihi vimuktaha bhavishyati. He will become or he becomes liberated from bondage. Then what attains? Not only he becomes free, liberated, amritam ashnute. He attains immortality. Amritam ashnute means he enjoys immortality. Means he claims the freedom, he claims the eternity, immortality, which is already there as his own essential nature. Amritam ashnute. Ashnute literally means eats. He eats means what? He enjoys immortality. He enjoys immortality means what is already there as his own nature. He claims it. Sometimes you may have, a lot of people in the world have wealth, but they're not able to enjoy it. But here also, we all have this tremendous wealth of fullness, happiness, immortality, but we're not able to enjoy it. No way? We do not know. So knowing is claiming. Claiming is owning, isn't it? Suppose, even if you have it, if you do not know, you don't have it. So amrutam ashnute means, amrutam here is taken as mrita means dead. Amrita, literally, amrita means what? Not dead. But you should take it as a noun. Mritam, mortality. Amritam, immortality. Deathlessness, immortality. It means time. This person, immortality means freedom. This person becomes free from bondage, thereby claims freedom, liberation as his own essential nature. Is it clear? This is the content of the verse. I'm not taking too much of time because this is the, even though the language is different, put in different order, that's all. Treen gunan deha samudbhavan treen gunan atitya. All objective plural case, objective case plural form. Deha samudbhavan treen gunan atitya. Having distinguished one's own self, being free self from the anath body, mind, sense complex. The material products is what? Having gone beyond three gunas, which alone contribute for the assumption of body again and again, this person frees himself from the bondage of birth, death and old age. Thereby, he does not really attain moksha. He claims immortality. He claims freedom, which is already there as one's own nature. Is it clear? So claiming already there as one's own nature means which will be there forever. It will not be lost. That is the meaning. Something what is not there already with attempt will get lost. But here this person claims what is already there as his own nature. So he will not get lose it. It will not get lost. It will remain forever. Okay. Yetan trin gunan. Dehasamudbhavan trin gunan aditya. Dehi janma mrityu jara dukkaihi vimuktaha amrutam ashnute. So dehi here means who, what is, who is dehi? One who is endowed with the body. So the one who is endowed with the body is distinct from the body. Not only physical body, subtle body also. Distinct from the mind, distinct from the sense organs, distinct from the pranas, distinct from the emotions, distinct from the intellect, distinct from all the physical body. And that dehi is there as the experiencer, enjoyer of everything. Essentially is what? Atma, which is the nature. And that is the person discovers, thereby he attains immortality for good. Okay. Gunan etan tityatrin dehi deha samudbhavan janma mrutyu jara dukkaihi vimukto mrutam ashnute. Next verse. Arjuna uvacha. Arjuna heard all about three gunas. So three gunas are nothing but another name given to material products. Why? Because all matter, anything material has three gunas. Therefore, now we see here, Arjuna uvacha kailingai strin gunanetan atito bhavati prabho kailingai strin gunanetan atito bhavati prabho kimacharah katham chaitan kimacharah katham chaitan trin gunanati vartate kailingai strin gunanetan atito bhavati prabho kimacharah katham chaitan trin gunanati vartate. Arjuna uvacha kailingai strin gunanetan kailingai strin gunanetan atito bhavati prabho kimacharah katham chaitan trin gunanati vartate kimacharah katham chaitan trin gunanati vartate. Okay, here very interesting to know exactly like how Arjuna asked the question in second chapter. Do you all remember second chapter? Towards the end, Arjuna asked, who is a sthita prajnaha? Who is a wise person? How does the wise person live? Who is a jnani? How does he speak? How does he sit? How can we understand who is the wise person? So Arjuna wanted to know. See, in the same way, the same question he puts it differently in this chapter again. Okay? Kaihi lingaihi trin etan trin gunan atitaha bhavati. Please make a note. Trin gunan atitaha. Etan trin gunan atitaha. All the words are in objective case. Etan trin gunan atitaha. The mukkunangalai kadandavan. The one who has gone beyond these three gunas. A jnani. See, etan trin gunan atitaha means the one who has gone beyond the three gunas. The one who has gone beyond three gunas means The one who has shifted his identity from anatma, material body, mind sense complex, to atma, the consciousness. Is it clear? Very, make it very simple. Treen gunan atitaha. The one who has gone beyond the three guna, sattva guna, rajoguna, tamoguna, means the person who has shifted his identity from the material anatma, body, mind sense complex, to nirgunaha atma. Okay? Three gunas means body, mind sense complex. All of them have three gunas. What is nirgunaha? Atma. The one who has shifted identity from anatma, material anatma, body, mind sense complex, to the nirguna atma. That teen guna yaha atitaha bhavati. Okay. Teen gunan yetan atitaha kaihi lingaihi bhavati. Linga means kaihi lingaihi bhavati. What are the special characteristic features? With which or what special characteristic features does he live? Or is he there? How can we make out? What are the clues? What are the clues to make out that this person has gone beyond three gunas? This person has shifted his identity from three gunas, body, mind, sense complex, to nirguna atma. What are the clues? How can we make out who is a wise person? Same thing. Kaihi lingaihi, with which special characteristics does this person remain who has gone beyond three gunas? Yetan treen gunan atitaha kaihi lingaihi bhavati. Hey Prabho. Prabhu means the Lord. Prabho, O Lord, please make it very clear for me. Nice to understand. It's very important for one to go beyond three gunas. One has to shift. One has to see, one has to become objective towards one's own body, mind, sense complex, which means one has to see one's essential nature being the nirguna atma. Such a person, if he is a jnani, how can we, what are the clues, what are the characteristics with which he remains, he is there? Kaihi lingaihi yetan trim gunan atitaha bhavati. हे प्रभो किम आचारः ओके किम आचारः हाउ डज द पर्सन अपीयर कथम भवति किम आचारः आचार मींस कंडक्ट व्हाट इज हाउ डज ही कंडक्ट हिमसेल्फ व्हाट इज हिज कंडक्ट किम आचारः इन फैक्ट Kimacharaha is a compound word. If otherwise it must be kaha acharaha tasya. Tasya jnayanaha kaha acharaha. What is his conduct? Kimacharaha is a compound word. Otherwise kaha acharaha tasya. What kaha acharaha tasya? What is his conduct? The answer must be, I think the question must be, Kima Acharaha must have been asked, Tasya Acharaha Kaha. What is his Achara? What is his conduct? Char, Yetan, Katham Yetan Trigunan Ativartate. Katham Yetan Trigunan Ativartate. Trin Gunan, Trigunan, compound word. How does he go beyond the three gunas? How does he go beyond three gunas? Trigunan katham ativartate. Ativartate goes beyond. Katham ativartate. How does he go beyond the three gunas? Which means, how does he attain jnanam? how does he shift his identity from anatma, body, mind, sense complex to atma? How is it possible for him to say, aham brahma asmi, aham atma asmi? How does he shift his identity from anatma, body, mind, sense complex to atma? How does he go beyond three gunas? How does he distinguish the self from the non-self? How does he understand nirguna atma being distinct from saguna anatma? See, so many ways are put in the same question. So what are three questions he asked Arjuna now? What are the special characteristics with which this person has gone beyond the gunas is? How does he appear? Bhavat katam bhavati, it is implied. Kim acharaha, tasya acharaha kaha. What is his conduct? Then fourth question, how does he go beyond these three gunas? When Arjuna heard, the person who goes beyond three gunas attains immortality, becomes free from bondage. He becomes free from bondage of birth, death and sorrow. Now, when he heard, oh my God, how does he go beyond three gunas? So you want to know again. Arjuna wants to know. Is it clear now? This is the question, Arjuna's question. Arjunaha asmin shloke chaturaha prashnan pruchyati. He asked four questions. What are the four questions? Etan trim gunam atitaha kaihi lingaihi bhavati. Number one question. Then katham bhavati, question number two. Tasya acharaha kaha, question number three. Katham etan, katham trin gunan katham ativartate, fourth question. Okay, trin gunan katham ativartate, how does he go beyond, means, how does he go beyond the three gunas? It is not physical. Physically going beyond is easy. It is an intellectual journey. Okay? It's a spiritual journey. It is a cognitive shift. There's a subtle. That's why, how does he do that? Without physically undoing anything, you have to shift the identity. It's exactly like you see, to know pot space is not different from total space. Ghatakashaha Mahakashat Abhinnaha. Pot space is not different from total space. To understand that, do you need to break the pot? No, I need to break the pot to understand that pot space is total space. You don't need to break the pot. You need to intellectually, physically, you don't need to do anything. Physically, cognitively, you have to see space is one indivisible, potless whole. The very pot enclosed itself exists in space. Space is distinct, but not distant from the pot, and space is one. Similarly here also, even though it is a physical body enclosure, inside we have mind, we have pranas, your sense powers, your subtle, all that, still all of them enjoy their existence in pure consciousness, pure awareness, all pervasive consciousness or awareness implied by the term Atma or Brahma, and consciousness is one only consciousness, indivisible, partless whole. So the person has to see what individual is essentially. Everything is individual. essentially one, when a person discovers, he shifts his identity from anatma, body, mind, his complex to atma. This is what is technically otherwise said to be going beyond three gunas. Distinguishing yourself from the non-self. And seeing the non-self being mithya. Seeing the self being one. Okay, so the question is asked, how does it? It is not physical. Yes, it is not a gross job. It involves subtle understanding. Therefore, the Arjuna is asking, how does a person go beyond the three gunas? How does he shift his identity from anatma to atma? Okay. Kairlingaistrin guna netanatito bhavati prabho. Kimacharah katham chaitan trin gunanati vartate. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Now Bhagavan's answer comes. Question and answer is coming. Prakasham cha pravrittin cha mohameva cha pandava. Prakasham cha pravrittin cha mohameva cha pandava. Nadveshti sampravrittani nanivrittani kaṅkṣati. Nadveshti sampravrittani nanivrittani kaṅkṣati. Prakāśañca pravrittiñca. Prakāśañca pravrittiñca. Mohameva ca pāṇḍava. Nadveshti sampravrittani nanivrittani kaṅkṣati. Okay, exactly like sthita prajna lakshanam is given in a different way. Okay, sthita prajna lakshanam, the definition of wise person was given in second chapter. The same thing is given differently here. Who is a gunatitaha? Gunatitaha means, see, nirgunaha means one who is free from gunas. Atma is nirgunaha. Here a wise person is a gunatitaha. One has gone beyond gunas. Okay. How does, if a person has gone beyond gunas, he is no more ignorant of the self. He has knowledge of the self. Therefore, he does not mistake the body, mind, and complex anymore for the self. He has no more identity with the anatma. His identity is with the Atma. There, once identity is with the Atma, naturally he is free from all the problems caused by ignorance. Okay, identity is with the Atma. It means he has jnana. He has no more ignorance. Once ignorance, he is free from ignorance, means he is free from the ignorance caused problems. Once ignorance caused problems are not there, how will he be? That's what is said in this verse. Saha na dveshti, na kaṅkṣati, na dveshti, na kaṅkṣati. Simple. Na dveshti, na kaṅkṣati. Kaṅkṣati means icchati. Kaṅkṣati means icchati, he desires. Na kaṅkṣati, he does not desire. He does not have any craving, does not have any desire. He does not desire. Na dveshti, nor does he hate. Dveshti is also second conjugation verb. Dveshti hates. Na dveshti, he does not hate. Which means he is free from likes and dislikes. Okay? He does not hate. He does not like. He does not desire. He is free from passion and aversion. He is free from likes and dislikes. Na dveshti, na kaṅkṣati. Okay. What he does not like, what he does not desire, what is that he does not desire for, what is that he does not hate, means he's, first of all, he's free from both likes and dislikes. He's free from passion and aversion. Okay, what is that he does not hate? Generally, an Ajnani, whatever Ajnani hates, there's no hatred on the part of this Jnani. It is said, Prakasham, Pravruttim, Moham. Three things. Prakashaha. In objective case, Prakasham. Prakasham na dveshti. Pravruttim na dveshti. Moham na dveshti. So Prakashaha literally means what? Brilliance, brightness, intelligence. Pravruttihi means activity, action. Moha delusion. Sampravruttani. See, vritta, pravritta, sampravritta. Means which have risen. Pravritta means which has happened. Sampravruttani which have happened, which have risen. Sampravruttani, all these when they rise. Na kaṅkṣati. He does not hate. He does not hate. Nor does he desire. He does not hate. Nivruttani. See, pravruttani, sampravruttani means which have come. Nivruttani which have gone. He does not hate when they come. He does not like they when they go. Oh, I want them to go away. I want these things to go away. Which means he has desire for their absence. There's no desire when they go away. He does not have liking when they come also. Okay. Pravruttani, sampravruttani. Pravruttani, sampravruttani. Na icchati. Pravruttani, na dveshti. Does not hate them. When they go also, he does not desire. Which means he remains neutral. What does it mean? What does it mean? For jnani is not dependent. One thing I will make it very clear. I'm going to explain to you each word. Very important. I have to explain everything. Jnani is absolutely independent. He is not dependent on any condition. Whether prakashaha, pravruttihi, he is not dependent on knowledge, is not dependent on activity, does not depend on the result of actions, is not dependent on external situations, he is not dependent on positions or possessions, he is not dependent on anything in the world, anything other than the self. Jnani, wise person, who has discovered the self being distinct from the three gunas, body, mind and complex, is absolutely not at all dependent on anything other than the self for his happiness and security. Therefore, dependence being not there, he does not have hatred, does not have passion or aversion, does not have a like or dislike. See, likes and dislikes are possible only if there is dependence. If you are dependent on an external situation, then it is natural for you to have passion for certain conducive atmosphere. There will be liking for certain conducive atmosphere. If you are dependent on external situation, then there will be aversion for certain things. Oh, I don't want these things to be there for my happiness. I want these things to be there for my happiness. I want this situation. I don't want this situation. I want this situation for my happiness means then there is a passion for certain, liking for certain specific situation. I don't want this situation means there's a dislike for certain situation. So likes and dislikes, passion and aversion are possible only if a person is dependent on external conditions, situations, atmosphere, the world for one's happiness and security. Whereas a jnani is absolutely is independent. Why? Because when a person has discovered the self, naturally he has discovered the self being the only source of happiness. Therefore, he is self-dependent. Being a jnani who has discovered the self, has discovered the fact that self is the only source of happiness. Therefore, he becomes self-dependent for his happiness. Being self-dependent, he becomes independent of the external situations. Being independent, he is not dependent means there's no reason for him to have like or dislike towards anything. Is it clear? Very important lesson. Therefore, sampravrittani sahana dveshti. He does not hate when things rise, things happen. Nivrittani sahana dveshna ichati. He does not desire when things go away. Unwanted, undesirable situations go away. He does not desire that. He does not desire for them. He is not dependent. I'll explain to you again. Therefore, jnani is self-dependent. Because he is self-dependent, because he knows self is the only source of happiness. For a person to know self being the only source of happiness, one must know what self is. If you do not know what you are, how can you know that you are the only source of happiness? You must know what you are. Only if you know what you are, then you can see that yourself being the only source of happiness. Only if you discover you are the only source of happiness, you can become self-dependent. In self-dependence, there is independence. If there is independence, then you will be free from raga-dveshas. Simple. Okay? Absolutely, one can be free from the raga-dveshas only when you become independent. Independence is possible only when you are self-dependent. Self-dependent is possible only when you know that you are the only source of happiness. To know you are the only source of happiness, you must know what you are. Which means you must have shifted your identity from three gunas in the form of body, mind and complex to nirguna atma. Isn't it? Therefore, that is the basic lesson, but I have to explain this verse more. So prakasham cha, pravruttim cha, moham eva cha. The three things Arjuna, Krishna tells, hey Pandava, Bhagavan addresses, Arjuna has, hey Pandava, na pravruttani na dveshti, nivruttani na kangshati. So here, in this 14th chapter, and in the 21st verse, Arjuna asked the question, we saw that. But now, Bhagavan gives an answer. There are four questions asked. What is the first question? What are the clues? What are the characteristics with which a wise person has gone beyond gunas is? What are the characteristics of a person who has gone beyond three gunas? What are the characteristics of a wise person? That is the first question. For that first question, answer is given in two verses. Which verse? Verse number 22 and verse number 23. What are the characteristics of a wise person who has shifted his identity from gunas to nirguna atma? From three matter, material, body, mind and complex to atma. For that question, answer is given in two verses, 22 and 20, 22nd verse and 23rd verse. Characteristics of a gunatitaha. The person has gone beyond the gunas. Then we saw also prakasham cha pravrittim cha. See, prakashaha. Prakashaha implies brilliance, light, which stands for sattva-gunaha. Sattva-gunaha. So brilliance, intelligence stands for sattva-guna. Pravruttihi means activity. Activity stands for rajo-guna. Mohaha stands for, mohaha means delusion. Delusion stands for tamo-guna. Okay. See, prakashaha stands for knowledge, intelligence, brilliance, subtleness. So that what prakashaha stands for, sattva gunaha. Pravruttihi is a feminine word which means activity. Activity stands for rajoguna. And the mohaha means delusion. Delusion means what? Lack of discriminative understanding. Confusion, delusion. That stands for tamoguna. Okay, three gunas, the three symptoms of three gunas. Okay, three gunas. So now, jnani, the wise person, the gunati, the one who has gone beyond the gunas, naturally must have got what? Naturally, the person is predominantly sattvic minded person, he has attained jnana. But still, the jnani also has all three gunas. But still, jnani is a predominantly a sattvic minded person. Jnani is a predominantly sattvic minded person. But jnani, when his identity is with the Atma, naturally, he does not have any hatred for any of his three. No hatred towards anything. He does not hate any of the gunas. There's no hatred towards anything. Whether a person, whatever rises, whether sattva guna is predominant, rajo guna is predominant, sometimes the tamo guna is there, the jnani has no any specific hatred towards anything. There's no hatred towards, there's no such a thing called dislike towards mental condition. Pravruttani na dveshti, nivruttani na kankshati. When they go away also, he does not like it, does not desire that it should go. Because, please remember, jnani has neither, jnani is not dependent on the presence of gunas or absence of gunas. Jnani is not dependent on the presence of the expressions of gunas or absence of the expressions of gunas. They are there, they are not there, he is not dependent on them. Therefore, there's neither when they rise also, the condition is there. This particular thing I have to explain again. Next class I'll explain this again, what it means exactly. But today, an important lesson I have told you already, but I am going to explain these three words again next class. So, na dveshti na kankshati means there's neither dislike nor is there a liking. Whether they come, when they come, he does not hate them. When they go away, he does not dislike them. does not dislike their going away. It does not like their coming. It means he is free from both passion and aversion. It means he is absolutely independent. What exactly he means by it, I'll explain to you next class. It's something I need to explain more. Okay, one thing important is to have, what is the first question Arjuna asked? Remember the question. What are the specific characteristic features of a jnani, a wise person, who has gone beyond the gunas? For which the answer is given in the two verses, 22nd and 23rd. Two verses. Then, I told you there are again three more questions. And those questions are answered in the following verses. We'll see them in the next class. Is it all right? I have to explain this itself. Only one important point I want to tell you. Jnani is free from likes and dislikes. Virupu virupu atravar. Jnani is free from likes and dislikes. Means jnani is free from passion and aversion. That is possible only if a person becomes independent of external situations and body, minds and complex. Not independent of everything for his happiness. The person has to become independent of everything for his happiness and security means he must become self-dependent. And self-dependence is possible only if a person knows that he is essentially the only source of happiness. I, the self, am the Atma, the only source of happiness. This fact must have become assimilated for him. That is possible only if a person has discovered his own essential nature. Which means he must have distinguished without, as I said, without breaking the pot, you understand cognitively that space has nothing to do with the pot. Space is distinct from the pot. At the same time, space is distinct, not distant, but space is one, indivisible, partless one. In the same way, in spite of having the body, mind, and complex also, intellectually, cognitively, a person must be able to distinguish the real self. One's essential nature being distinct from the anatma, body, mind, and complex, otherwise said with three gunas. That person alone knows the self being the only source of happiness. Thereby, the person becomes self-dependent. See, for you to be a self-dependent, you must discover this fact that you are the only source of happiness and the only source of security. When you become then you become self-dependent. In being self-dependent, you become independent of everything and anything other than yourself for happiness and security also. That is why you're absolutely secure person. And then, if that's absolutely you're independent, you're self-dependent for happiness and security, then you're independent, very independent, you'll be free from passion and aversion, likes and dislikes. People repeatedly tell this. How can you become free from likes and dislikes? Free from the hold of likes and dislikes. Repeatedly this question is asked. How can you become free from the hold of likes and dislikes? Virupu virupugalin pidilirundhu vidupaduvathu eppadi? Repeatedly this question is asked. Okay, how can you become free from the hold of likes and dislikes? Impossible. You will have likes and dislikes. Definitely impossible. The most difficult thing is becoming free from the hold of likes and dislikes. I like this, I don't like this. I want this, I don't want this. We all have our own strong likes and dislikes. Vendudal vendamai ilan. Only Bhagavan is vendudal vendamai. Bhagavan is the only person who is free from Prabhuji has understood what I said in Tamil, okay? Free from likes and dislikes. I tell you, one Swamiji asked me, you must teach Thirukkural through Sanskrit. I said, I'll try. Okay. He has got a big mission now. He wants to say, He was telling all Tamil Nadu, unless the politicians, they study, they get thorough knowledge of Tirukkural, they should not be given election seats as candidates. He was telling me like that. I had a big discussion with him anyway. And Swami, we've been doing a lot of work. Okay, like that, I don't know. It's good. So we have to see all those things. What I'm saying, Bhagavan is the only Purushottama. He's free from likes and dislikes. And you also can become free from the hold of likes and dislikes. When you become independent. Independent of what? Independent of anything and everything. For what? Happiness and security. If you are independent of anything and everything for happiness and security, you will be absolutely free from likes and dislikes. That's the only way. Otherwise, as long as you're dependent, you cannot become free from likes and dislikes, hold of likes and dislikes. You will be. And if you have to become independent, you must become self-dependent. You can become self-dependent, for which you must very clearly know you are the only source of happiness and security. To know that you are the only source of happiness and security, you must see what you are essentially. It is called jnana, which means you must have shifted the identity from anatma to atma. In the 14th chapter, you must have shifted identity. You must have gone beyond three gunas. Which means going beyond three gunas means body, mind and complex are nothing but three gunas. Going, atma is nirguna. Okay, the shift is what? Going beyond three gunas. So, what are the characteristics of a wise person? That's what jnani is free from. If you see anybody is free from the hold of likes and dislikes, you can say he is a gunatitaha. This is the first characteristic feature we have seen. But I had to explain the same verse. It's still the 23rd, second verse only. I'll continue in the next class. Is it alright? Sorry for being late, but I made it today. I'm happy. Om Harihi Om Shri Bhagavanu Vacha Prakasham Cha Pravrittim Cha Mohameva Cha Pandava Nadveshti Sampravrittani Nanivrittani Kangshati Om Harihi Om Tat Sat. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.